Hare Krishna. We will begin the sixth chapter, Dhyana Yoga. In the previous chapter, Krishna described how to attain liberation by Nishkama Karma Yoga. And also in the verses number 27 and 28, Krishna described how to attain liberation by Ashtanga Yoga. Very briefly, he said, you can attain liberation also by Ashtanga Yoga. In this chapter, in the sixth chapter, Krishna very elaborately describes Ashtanga Yoga or Dhyana Yoga process. However, Ashtanga Yoga is extremely difficult for an average person to perform. So, considering its difficulty and impracticality, especially because one has to control the mind during Ashtanga Yoga. So, without having purified oneself of any material desires by performing prescribed duties, one cannot actually begin to practice Ashtanga Yoga. Okay? So, to commence Ashtanga Yoga, you should be pure. To a considerable degree, and that purity is acquired by performing prescribed duties as a part of one's Nishkama Karma Yoga. By performing Nishkama Karma Yoga, you purify yourself and then come to the level of Ashtanga Yoga. So one cannot directly jump to Ashtanga Yoga because it is a very difficult task. So one who has material desires, one whose mind is not controlled, one whose senses are not controlled, they cannot practice Ashtanga Yoga. Even Arjuna says in this chapter, it's extremely difficult to practice this Ashtanga Yoga. So, considering the impracticality of Ashtanga Yoga, Krishna in the first couple of verses of this chapter glorifies Nishkama Karma Yoga again. In this chapter, his agenda is to describe Ashtanga Yoga. But in the first two chapters, first two shlokas, he glorifies glorifies Nishkama Karma Yoga. Okay? Let's see. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Anashritaha Karma Phalam.
Anashritaha Karma Phalam.
Karyam Karma Karotiyaha.
Karyam Karma Karotiyaha.
Sasanyasi Cha Yogi Cha.
Sasanyasi Cha Yogi Cha.
Naniragner na chakriyah.
Naniragner na chakriyah.
Anashritah karma phalam. Karma is your activity or prescribed activities. Karma phalam means the results of your activities. Anashritah means you are not attached to that fruits of activities. Okay. Anashritah karma phalam. Karyam karma karotiyaha. If you are performing your prescribed duties without any attachment to the results of them, then sa sannyasi cha. Such a person is a sannyasi, is a renunciant. Sannyasi is a word generally used to refer to a person who has renounced all activities. But if you are performing activities without attachment to results, you are as good as a sannyasi. Yogi also. Yogi means karma yogi. Karma yogi performs activities. Sannyasi may not perform activities. Yesterday we saw on the board. Okay. But if you are performing activities without any attachment to results, you are not only a yogi or karma yogi, you are also a sannyasi, one who has given up work. Okay. Because your action is as good as inaction. Because your action is without any desires, without any attachment to results, and with dedication to the Supreme. Fine. So, a sannyasa sannyasi cha yogi cha. But not a person who is na niragnir, one who leads no fire. One who leads no fire means one who does not perform any sacrifices. Okay. And na chakriyaha, one who performs no work at all, even for bodily maintenance. Just by restraining yourself from doing any sacrifices, Nariragnir means sannyasi's night, they don't cook on fire. They go door to door and then beg food. They don't cook on their own. So they just live on the alms that they get from other people. So nani ragnir na chakriyah, just by restraining yourself from performing a fire sacrifice or performing some cooking or not doing any work, you cannot be called sannyasi. Sannyasi means, although you are working, you should have detachment from the fruits of work. Then you are a sannyasi. Okay? So sannyasa is not just the order of renunciation, it is the spirit of renunciation. You may have the spirit of renunciation. With that spirit of renunciation, you may accept the order of renunciation and give up work. That's fine. What Krishna is emphasizing here is, whether you are formally accepting sannyasa order or not, that's a detail. You should have the spirit of renunciation, even if you are working. That's what Krishna is emphasizing. So such a person is yogi or sannyasi. Yogi is karma yogi, who is performing prescribed duties. So one who desires practicing Ashtanga Yoga should not suddenly give up prescribed duties or karma yoga, because prescribed duties will purify the heart. Although working, since a karma yogi renounces the results of his actions, he is called a sannyasi. And because his mind does not dwell on the enjoyment of sense objects, he is a yogi. Yogi is a person who is trying to connect with the Supreme. Okay, if your mind is so attached to material objects, how can you connect with the Supreme? So, a yogi is a person who connects to the Supreme by having detachment from material objects. A sannyasi is a person who carries the spirit of renunciation. His mind is not meditating on sense objects. He has no attachment to the results of his actions. So, he is a sannyasi, he is a yogi also. Basically, the spirit of being a yogi, spirit of being a sannyasi is emphasized here. More than the order of being a sannyasi, more than the concept of engaging in work or not engaging in work. So it's not more about performing an action or not performing an action. It's more about what is your attitude in doing so. Okay, if you are working with a spirit of detachment and devotion, you are as good as a person who is not working on a material platform. Okay. If you are not working on a material platform, still in the mind you are dwelling on material activities and material enjoyment, it's not worth, you are not worth calling a sannyasi. You are not worth being called as a sannyasi. Okay. So you have just given up action and you say, I am a sannyasi. No. Do you have the spirit of renunciation? Or are you still internally meditating on material pleasures? Okay, that's the point being conveyed here. Okay, the living entity who acts for satisfaction of the Supreme Whole and not for personal satisfaction is a perfect sannyasi, is a perfect yogi. Okay, a Krishna conscious person has no desire for self-satisfaction. His criteria of success is satisfaction of Krishna, and thus he is the perfect sannyasi and perfect yogi. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kamaye, mama janmani, janmani ishvare, bhavatat bhaktir ahaitukim tvayi. So, a Krishna conscious person does not desire even liberation or other enjoyment. He just wants to render service to Krishna always. Second sloka. Yam sanyasamiti prahur.
Yam sanyasamiti prahur.
Yogam tam vidhi pandava.
Yogam tam vidhi pandava.
Nahya sanyasta sankalpo.
Nahya sanyasta sankalpo.
Yogi bhavati kaschana.
Yogi bhavati kaschana.
Yam sanyasamiti prahur. Yogam tam vidhi pandava. What is called renunciation? Iti prahur means it is being said so. It's being called so. Okay. So what is called renunciation, you should know, is same as yoga. Yam sanyasamiti prahur yogam tam vidhi pandava. What is being called as sannyasa is also yoga. Okay. Nahi asanyasta sankalpo yogi bhavati kaschana. For one can never become a yogi unless he renounces the desire for sense gratification. See this. Asanyasta sankalpo. Sankalpa is desire for enjoyment. Asanyasta means you have not given it up. Sanyasta is giving up something. Sankalpa is some desire for sense gratification. If we have not given up sense gratificatory desires or determination to pursue sense enjoyment, then you cannot be a yogi, you cannot be a sannyasi. But if you have the spirit of renunciation and detachment and no material desires, then you are a yogi, you are a sannyasi too. It's more about the consciousness, not the activity. It's more about the attitude and not the external performance of some activity. Okay. Prabhupada writes, a person in Krishna consciousness has no opportunity to engage his senses in anything which is not for the purpose of Krishna. Therefore, a Krishna conscious person is simultaneously a sannyasi and a yogi. The real aim of living entity is to give up all selfish satisfaction and to be prepared to satisfy the Supreme. The Krishna conscious person has no desire for any kind of self-enjoyment. So, repeatedly Prabhupada is saying the same thing. Work for the Supreme, not for your sense gratification. That kind of work will not entangle you. So, in the first six chapters, the ultimate message is consistent. Perform your prescribed duty. Don't prematurely give up that prescribed duty in the name of being a sannyasi, being a jnani, being knowledgeable, this and that. Okay. A Krishna conscious person has no desire for any kind of self-enjoyment. He is always engaged for the enjoyment of the Supreme. So, having glorified Nishkama Karma Yoga again in the first two slokas, in the next two slokas, Krishna will speak about Ashtanga Yoga. So, without purifying oneself by performing prescribed duties and Nishkama Karma Yoga, one cannot be qualified to begin Ashtanga Yoga. Because Ashtanga Yoga requires a lot of mind control and sense control. All this Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama are centered on sense control. And this Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi, they are centered on mind control. Without controlling one's mind and senses, you cannot focus on Ashtanga Yoga. And if you have so many material desires within, how can you control your mind and senses? So by performing Nishkama Karma Yoga and cultivating knowledge and detachment and sense control and mind control, one day you will be able to perform Ashtanga Yoga also. Okay. So sannyasa means to be fixed in jnana, characterized by stopping the functions of the senses or renouncing the results of actions. Yoga means to have a mind which is not agitated by the thirst to enjoy sense objects. Therefore, both could mean the same. Okay, yoga and sannyasa, in spirit, they are same. Yoga is karma yoga, sannyasa is karma sannyasa. Karma sannyasa and karma yoga, technically they are different. Because in karma sannyasa, there is no work. In karma yoga, there is prescribed work. But in spirit, both are same. Because you have detachment, no material desires. Okay. Next, third and fourth slokas. Third sloka. Arurukshormunaryogam karma karana muchyate yogarudhasya tasyaiva shamaha karana muchyate. Arurukshormunaryogam. Aruruksha is the beginning stage. Yoga Aruruksha, Yoga Arudha. Aruruksha is the beginning stage of the Ashtanga Yoga. Or any process. Aruruksha is beginning stage, Arudha is perfect stage. Okay. So Yoga Aruruksha means beginning stage of Ashtanga Yoga. Yoga Arudha is beginning stage of, advanced stage of Ashtanga Yoga. Okay. Arurukshor Munir Yogam Karma Karana Muchyate. So in the beginning stages, you cannot give up Nishkama Karma Yoga. Your progress in this path, this Ashtanga Yoga, is dependent on your performance of prescribed duties. Arurukshor Munir Yogam Karma Karana Muchyate. Karma is performing your prescribed duties. Karanam Uchyate. The cause of your progress in this path is performing your karma as prescribed duties. Is it clear? Means in the beginning stages of Ashtanga Yoga, you cannot give up Nishkama Karma Yoga. You have to perform Nishkama Karma Yoga. Okay? So, that is the cause of your elevation. And Yoga Rudhasya Tasseva Shamaha Karanam Ucchyate. In the advanced stages, which is Yoga Rudha stages, then Shamaha Karanam Ucchyate. Now, you see, Shama is cessation of material activities. You should give up your prescribed duties in the advanced stage of yoga. Okay? This third sloka has a simple meaning. Ashtanga yoga means it has eight kinds of practices. In the beginning stages, you should not give up your prescribed activities. Means you should perform Nishkama Karma Yoga. In the advanced stages, you can give up your prescribed duties. Is it clear? So let's first describe what are the eight stages. Yama means all the don'ts, all the regulations or prohibitions. Niyama is all the do's, means all our rules and prescriptions that you need to follow. Yama and Niyama means do's and don'ts, or prescriptions or prohibitions. Prescriptions can also be called as prohibitions. It's basically the way you say it. Get up early in the morning. That's a prescription. Don't get up so late in the morning. That is prohibition. Okay. So the same principle can be said as a, can be worded as do or don't. Okay. Yama niyama is basically rules and regulations, or do's and don'ts, or prescriptions and prohibitions. Fine. These are the first two stages. Third stage is asana, means some bodily exercises. Fourth stage is pranayama, means some breathing exercises that involves puraka, rechaka, kumbhaka. Means you deep exhaling, deep inhaling and holding the breath. So these are all different practices. Okay. We'll discuss all this little later. From the 10th sloka onwards, Krishna describes various stages of Ashtanga Yoga practice. Okay. Now he is just broadly classifying them into two, beginning stage and advanced stage. Beginning stage is called Yoga Aruruksha, advanced stage is called Yoga Arudha. In the Yoga Aruruksha stage, you should perform your prescribed duties, that is, you should also perform Nishkama Karma Yoga. In the advanced stages, you can give up your prescribed duties. Okay? Your cause of elevation is by performing your prescribed activities. That is Karma Karana Muchyati. Advanced stage, Shamaha Karana Muchyati. Okay? So, one should cultivate detachment and also practice Ashtanga Yoga, doing asanas that gradually purifies heart from fruitive desires. So, we came up to pranayama. Fifth stage is pratyahara. Pratyahara means when the senses are running towards sense objects, you try to withdraw them. Okay? So, that is withdrawing the senses from sense objects, that is called pratyahara. So, in all the first five stages, you are dealing with the senses by either controlling them or engaging them in some practices. Okay? In breathing exercises or bodily exercises. So, the sense control and sense regulation is very much prominent in the first five stages. Okay? So, in this stage, you must perform prescribed duties. These are all Yoga Aruruksha stages. Okay? So, next, when one is completely purified of material desires by doing all these initial practices, Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, then one can give up prescribed duties. So that is the stage described in the fourth sloka. Let's see that. Yadahi nendriyartheshu nakarmasvanushajyatem sarvasankalpasanyasiyem yogarudhastadochyatem yadahi nendriyartheshu nakarmasu anushajyate. Indriya artheshu, na karmashu, means you are not performing any work for your sense gratification. Indriya artheshu, Okay. So, Sarva Sankalpa Sannyasi, you have given up all your Sankalpa or material desires. Earlier Sankalpa was there. Okay. Second Shloka says, Asanyasta Sankalpo, you have not given up material desires. But here fourth verse says, Sarva Sankalpa Sannyasi, you have given up all material desires. Yoga Rudhas Tadochyate, such a stage is called Yoga Rudha. Means, when one is completely devoid of any material desires, is completely purified, he can give up Nishkama Karma Yoga and just focus on the advanced limbs of Ashtanga Yoga, which are meditation on the Lord. Okay? So when the senses are too distracted, mind cannot focus on the Supreme. When the senses are quite controlled, then the mind, the senses are there, not there within the mind. Okay? So the mind can focus more on the Supreme Lord's form. So in the first five stages, Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, you cannot give up Nishkama Karma Yoga. Only when you come to the stage of Dharana or Dhyana, where you focus your mind on the Supreme Lord's form, you can give up Nishkama Karma Yoga. Okay? You can give up your prescribed duties. So, Dharana is fixing the mind on the Lord's form generally. Dhyana is more intensified meditation, meditating on individual limbs of the Lord. Okay. Then Samadhi is complete absorption or trance in the Supreme Lord. So in these advanced stages of Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi, you can give up Nishkama Karma Yoga. You can give up all prescribed duties. You are getting it? So like that. So some say at Dharana stage you can give up prescribed duties. Some say at Dhyana stage you can give up prescribed duties. Where exactly is the transition? It's okay. No problem. You don't have to figure out so seriously unless it is very specifically mentioned there. But basically, when you, the stage at which you focus your mind more on the Supreme, that is the stage where you can give up your prescribed duties. But as long as you are on the stage of following do's, don'ts and breathing exercises and all these initial stages, you should not give up material, you should not give up your prescribed duties. Okay, like that. So that is advanced stage and there is preliminary stage. So these two are described in the third and fourth slokas. Concerning the eightfold system, eightfold yoga system, attempts in the beginning to enter into meditation through regulative principles of life and practice of different sitting postures are considered fruitive material activities. All such activities lead to achieving perfect mental equilibrium to control the senses. When one is accomplished in the practice of meditation, he ceases all disturbing mental activities. A Krishna conscious person, however, is situated from the beginning on the platform of meditation because he always thinks of Krishna. And being constantly engaged in service of Krishna, he is considered to have ceased all material activities. So Krishna, for a Krishna conscious person, he performs so many activities. Okay, whether it is advanced devotee or a neophyte devotee, constantly so much action is happening. Okay, because that is all Krishna conscious action. So his mind is already fixed in Krishna. So with mind fixed in Krishna, he is performing devotional service. So he is much more superior or greater than an Ashtanga yogi who is doing just bodily exercises and breathing exercises in the beginning. And then coming to the stage of fixing the mind on Krishna, giving up material activities. Okay. So mind control and detachment from sense objects are the requirements to come to Yoga Rudha stage. So in the next two verses, fifth and sixth verses, the importance of mind control is described. Next, let's see. Fifth sloka. Very beautiful.
Uddharedatmanatmanam
natmanamavasadayet atmaivahyatmanobandhar atmaivaripuratmanah uddharedatmanatmanam. ఆత్మానం అవసాదయత్. వెరీ బ్యూటిఫుల్ రైమింగ్ శ్లోక విత్ బ్యూటిఫుల్ మీనింగ్. రైమింగ్ అండ్ మీనింగ్ బోత్ ఆర్ గుడ్ ఫర్ దిస్ శ్లోకస్. ఉద్ధరేత్ మీన్స్ యూ కెన్ డెలివర్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్, యూ కెన్ ఎలివేట్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్, యూ కెన్ అప్లిఫ్ట్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్. ఆత్మన మీన్స్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్, ఆత్మానం బై ద మైండ్. ఓకే, వన్ కెన్ డెలివర్ వన్ సెల్ఫ్ బై ద హెల్ప్ ఆఫ్ ది మైండ్. ఆత్మానం న ఆత్మానం అవసాదేత్, వన్ షుడ్ నాట్ డీగ్రేడ్ వన్ సెల్ఫ్ బై మైండ్. ఓకే, ఆర్ బై సెన్సెస్. సో మైండ్ కెన్ బి యువర్ ఫ్రెండ్, మైండ్ కెన్ బి యువర్ ఎనిమీ ఆల్సో. ఇఫ్ యు మేక్ ఫ్రెండ్షిప్ విత్ ద కంట్రోల్డ్ మైండ్, దెన్ మైండ్ విల్ హెల్ప్ యూ ఎలివేట్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్. ఇఫ్ యు మేక్ ఫ్రెండ్షిప్ విత్ ది అన్కంట్రోల్డ్ మైండ్, దెన్ మైండ్ విల్ బికమ్ ద కాజ్ ఆఫ్ వన్స్ డిగ్రేడేషన్. ఓకే, సో ఆత్మైవ హి ఆత్మనో బంధుర్. ఇట్స్ ద మైండ్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ విచ్ ఇస్ ద ఫ్రెండ్ ఆఫ్ ద సోల్ ఇఫ్ ఇట్ ఇస్ కంట్రోల్డ్. అండ్ ఆత్మైవ రిపుర్ ఆత్మన, రిపు మీన్స్ ఎనిమి, బంధు ఈజ్ ఫ్రెండ్, రిపు ఈజ్ ఎనిమి. ద మైండ్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ ఈజ్ ఎనిమి టు ద సోల్ ఇఫ్ ద మైండ్ ఈజ్ అన్కంట్రోల్డ్. ఓకే, సో బెటర్ యూ ట్రై టు ఎలివేట్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ విత్ ద హెల్ప్ ఆఫ్ ద మైండ్ దెన్ డిగ్రేడింగ్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ బై ద మైండ్. ఓకే, బికాస్ కంట్రోల్డ్ మైండ్ ఈజ్ ద ఫ్రెండ్ ఆఫ్ ద సోల్, అన్కంట్రోల్డ్ మైండ్ ఈజ్ ద ఎనిమి ఆఫ్ ద సోల్. ద మీనింగ్ ఈజ్ క్లియర్. ద పర్పస్ ఆఫ్ యోగా సిస్టమ్ ఇస్ టు కంట్రోల్ ద మైండ్ అండ్ టు డ్రా ఇట్ అవే ఫ్రమ్ అటాచ్మెంట్ టు సెన్స్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్. ఇన్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ ద ప్యూర్ సోల్ ఈజ్ ఎంటాంగిల్డ్ ఇన్ ది మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్ బికాస్ ద మైండ్ ఈజ్ ఇన్వాల్వ్డ్ విత్ ఫాల్స్ ఈగో విచ్ డిజైర్స్ టు లార్డ్ ఇట్ ఓవర్ ద మెటీరియల్ నేచర్. ఓకే, ద బెస్ట్ వే టు డిసెంటాంగిల్ వన్ సెల్ఫ్ ఇస్ టు ఆల్వేస్ ఎంగేజ్ ద మైండ్ ఇన్ కృష్ణ కాన్షియస్నెస్. ప్రభాత్ కోట్స్ ఫ్రమ్ అమృత బిందు ఉపనిషత్. మన ఏవ మనుష్యాణం కారణం బంధమోక్షయో. బంధ ఈజ్ బాండేజ్, మోక్ష ఈజ్ లిబరేషన్. మన ఏవ మనుష్యాణం కారణ, మైండ్ ఈజ్ ద ఓన్లీ కాజ్ ఆఫ్ బంధ అండ్ మోక్ష ఫర్ ఆల్ మనుష్యాస్, ఫర్ ఆల్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్. బంధాయ విషయాసంగో ముక్తి నిర్విషయం మనః. వెరీ సింపుల్ సంస్క్రిట్ ఆల్సో, వెరీ మీనింగ్ఫుల్ శ్లోక. బంధాయ విషయాసంగో, ఇఫ్ యూ మేక్ ఫ్రెండ్షిప్ విత్ మెటీరియల్ సెన్స్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ దెర్ ఇస్ బంధన్, దెర్ ఇస్ బాండేజ్. అండ్ మోక్ష ముక్తి నిర్విషయం మనః, ఇఫ్ యువర్ మైండ్ ఈజ్ నాట్ అటాచ్డ్ టు సెన్స్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ దెన్ దెర్ ఇస్ లిబరేషన్. So mind itself is the cause of both happiness and liberation. You can also see the teachings of Jada Bharat to Rahugana in the fifth canto, chapters number 10, 11, 12 and all. The sixth chapter is Rishabhadev chapter. Okay, so like that, mind is the cause of liberation, mind is the cause of bondage. Mind is friend, mind is enemy too.
బంధురాత్మాత్మనస్తస్యాత్మైవాత్మనజితః
అనాత్మనస్తు శత్రుత్వే వర్తేతాత్మైవ శత్రువత్. బంధుర్ ఆత్మాత్మనస్తస్య యేనాత్మైవాత్మనజితః. ద మైండ్ ఈస్ ద బెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ఫ్రెండ్స్ ఫర్ ఎ పర్సన్ హూ హ్యాస్ కాంకర్డ్ ద మైండ్. బంధుర్ మీన్స్ మైండ్ ఈజ్ అ ఫ్రెండ్. ఏన ఆత్మైవాత్మన జితః, ఇఫ్ యూ హ్యావ్ కాంకర్డ్ యువర్ మైండ్ ఇట్ విల్ బి యువర్ బెస్ట్ ఫ్రెండ్. అండ్ ఆత్మ అనాత్మనస్తు శత్రుత్వే, ద అన్కంట్రోల్డ్ మైండ్ ఈజ్ ద గ్రేటెస్ట్ ఎనిమీ. వర్తేత్ ఆత్మైవ శత్రువత్, ఇఫ్ వన్ హ్యాస్ ఫెయిల్డ్ టు కాంకర్ ద మైండ్ విల్ యాక్ట్ లైక్ ఏ గ్రేట్ ఎనిమీ. ఓకే, so mind is described to be friend and enemy. So these are the descriptions of mind. And after hearing these shlokas, Arjuna also will think, oh, mind control has a great role to play to perform this ashtanga yoga. He becomes a little scared. So towards the end of the chapter, Arjuna says, no, it seems too impractical for me. I can't control the mind. Prabhupada writes in this purport, one who cannot control his mind lives always with the greatest enemy, and thus his life and his mission are spoiled. Especially when a person is alone, means he is with the mind. And if the mind is not Krishna conscious, if the mind is Maya conscious, if the mind is too distracted and uncontrolled, if the mind is very vicious, mind becomes a great subservient of false ego, which identifies oneself as with so many material designations, then it causes havoc in one's life. So you cannot be alone always, you are with the mind. If the mind is uncontrolled, people will indulge in so many unpleasant activities when they are alone with their minds. Some people may even commit suicide also. Some people may take drugs also. Some people may do this. Some people may do that. So all because of making friendship with the uncontrolled mind, which will act like an enemy. But if the mind is focused on Krishna, a devotee may be alone somewhere. An advanced devotee, I am saying, not a neophyte sadhaka. So he will sit there and then chant holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Because the mind is controlled, and that seclusion gave him an opportunity to focus more on the Supreme. But with an uncontrolled mind, if you are in seclusion, that will create havoc. Okay? With a controlled mind, if you are in seclusion, you will, without any distractions, you can focus on Krishna. Okay? When very advanced devotees are in seclusion, that gives them a great opportunity to just meditate on Krishna. But neophyte people are materialistic people are spending time with their minds, they will do all kinds of nonsensical activities. Okay. Next, real yoga practice entails meeting the Paramatma within the heart and then following his dictation. Okay, that is real yoga. Seventh sloka. Seventh, eighth and ninth slokas describe the symptoms of a person who is in yoga rudha stage. Yoga rudha is advanced stage. Okay, let's see. Jitatmanaha prashantatma.
Jitatmanaha prashantasya.
Jitatmanaha prashantasya.
Jitatmanaha prashantasya.
Paramatma samahitaha.
Paramatma samahitaha.
Sitoshna sukha dukkheshu.
Sitoshna sukha dukkheshu.
Tathamanapamanayoha.
Tathamanapamanayoha.
Jitatmanaha means a person on the yoga rudha stage. All these are symptoms of person on yoga rudha stage, means advanced stage of yoga. He is on the levels of dharana, dhyana and samadhi, not in breathing exercises stage. Okay, jitatmanaha, he has controlled mind. Prashantasya, he has attained peace, tranquility. He is not agitated, he is not distracted all the while. He is very peaceful and sober and gentle. Third, Paramatma samahitaha, he has completely approached the super soul, Paramatma. Fourth, Sitoshna sukha dukkheshu tatha manapamanayoho, means he is very neutral to dualities. He has equanimity. What are the dualities mentioned here? Krishna gives examples. Sita, Ushna, heat and cold. Sukha, dukkha, means happiness and distress. Mana, apamana. Mana is honor, apamana is dishonor. Okay. Now, this heat and cold are in a physical plane. Sitoshna, heat and cold are in a physical plane. Next, sukha dukkheshu, they are on a mental plane, happiness and distress. And mana apamana means honor and dishonor are on an egoistic level. But this person has equanimity, he is neutral. So whether he is facing dualities on a physical plane or mental plane or egoistic plane, he is neutral. Is it clear? So neutrality and equanimity at all levels of one's existence. That means he is totally focused on the spirit soul. He is not just distracted or overwhelmed with the dualities faced by the gross and subtle material bodies. He is focused on the spirit soul. Is it clear? So that is the symptoms of a person in yoga rudha stage. And why? Because he is Paramatma Samahitaha. He is connected with the Supreme, connected with Paramatma. Okay. So the qualities of a person on the Yoga Roda stage are continued in the next two verses also. 8th sloka. Jnana Vijnana Truptatma
Jnana Vijnana Truptatma
Kutastho Vijitendriyaha
Kutastho Vijitendriya
Yukta Ityuchyate Yogi
Yukta Ityuchyate Yogi
Samaloshtrasma Kanchanaha
Samaloshtrasma
Kanchanaha Jnana Vijnana Truptatma. Okay. So Jnana is knowledge. Vijnana is realization of that knowledge. Jnana Vijnana Truptatma, having endowed with knowledge and realization both, Truptatma, he is totally satisfied within himself. Simple Sanskrit to understand. Kutastho Vijitendriyaha. Kutastha means he is fixed up, he is situated in transcendence. Okay. Vijitendriyaha, Vijita Indriyaha, he is self-controlled, sense-controlled. Okay. Next, Yukta Ityuchyate Yogi. He is self-realized and he is actually technically supposed to be called as Yogi. Yukta Ityuchyate Yogi. Mystic. Samaloshtrasma Kanchanaha. Again, his equanimity is glorified here. Sama means he has an equal disposition. Towards what? Loshtra Ashma Kanchanaha, towards pebbles, stones or gold also. Kanchana is gold. So whether it is gold or a stone, he sees on an equal vision. Basically, he does not have any attachment towards both. He does not see both as an object of his enjoyment. He is focusing on the Supreme. Because whether it is gold or stone, materially there is a difference in their values. But ultimately both are material only. Okay? They both are material. I have nothing to do with anything material. That is his disposition. Okay? Next. 9th sloka. Prabhupada writes in this purport, Bhagavad Gita is the science of Krishna consciousness. No one can become Krishna conscious simply by mundane scholarship. One must be fortunate enough to associate with a person who is in pure consciousness. A Krishna conscious person has realized knowledge by the grace of Krishna because he is satisfied with pure devotional service. 9th sloka. Some of these qualities, right, they are there in devotees also. Devotees have many more qualities, but here most of these qualities are about equanimity, tranquility, equal disposition, tolerance, controlling mind and self, that only. But devotee has all these qualities, of course, but he has additional qualities of dedication to the Supreme, being selfless, always thinking of Krishna, all that. 9th sloka. Suhran mitraryudasinam
Suhran mitraryudasinam
Madhyastadvescha bandhushu
Madhyastadvescha bandhushu
Sadhushvapicha papeshu
Sadhushvapicha papeshu
Samabuddhir visishyate
Samabuddhir visishyate
Suhran mitra ari udasina. Suhran means your dear friends or well-wishers, technical meaning. Mitra is benefactors, who has affection. Ari, enemies. Udasina, neutral parties. Madhyastha means mediators. And Dveshi, Bandhushu. Dveshya means those who are envious of you. Bandhushu means relatives. So Sadhushu, Apicha Papeshu, Sama Buddhir Visishyate. Sadhu means gentlemen, Papeshu, sinful people. So, different categories of people are mentioned in this sloka. But what is the quality of a person in Yoga Rudha stage? He is Samabuddhi. He is equipoised to all of them. Samabuddhir Visishyati. So, he sees everyone on an equal platform. So, we have seen earlier Nishkama Karma Yogi's equal vision. Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavihastini Sunachiva Svapakeja Panditaha Samadarshinaha. Now we are seeing the equanimity of a Ashtanga Yogi who is in advanced stages, Yoga Rudha stages. That is, Samabuddhir Visishyate. Equanimity is there in all circumstances. So, having described the perfectional stage of Ashtanga Yoga, Krishna will describe various activities in the practice stage of Ashtanga Yoga in the next 22 shlokas. Okay. So, we have completed 9 shlokas. We can take a break now. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
We can do it tomorrow.